unfortunately, because of the extreme importance of social distancing, the way we're going to win the war against this machala is not by closing shuls and batim medrashim and then going about doing our business, everything else the way that we always have. It's by essentially shutting down the greatest gedolim, the Rosh Yeshiva at YU, the Moetzes HaGdola, all across the from world. The gedolim have said that we must do this. It's pikuach nefashos. I don't even call it sofik pikuach nefashos anymore. It's mamish pikuach nefashos. My hospital is filled. Every hospital in this New York area, New Jersey area, is filled, nebuch, with very sick patients dying, rachmona litzlan, from COVID-19. Which, if you can prevent yourself from getting it, is absolutely a chiyuv. So as much as we want young couples to get together, and nobody should for a second stop readying shidduchim, nobody for a second should not be thinking every moment of their waking time, I think I know somebody for this person, I think I know somebody for that person. That must continue. And when that shidduch clicks to the point where they're both willing to go out, that's what has to change for the immediate future. And instead of them taking a stroll through a museum, maybe they'll need to go and take a stroll virtually online together and meet through a Zoom conference or through FaceTime or WhatsApp and talk to each other and meet and get to know each other in that way and not be physically in the same room, but maybe get a chance to connect even on a deeper level and not be distracted by some of the things around us. I do not recommend at this point in time that people even have those first dates outdoors where it's somewhat safer, but still, it's very hard to carry on a conversation with somebody and build any sort of a relationship when you're standing 8 feet apart and yelling at each other, did you hear what I just said? Or you're trying to talk privately and other people are there. So I don't think that is medically a good thing to do because it's going to lead to inappropriate social gathering, which under normal circumstances is halachically sanctioned. But here it's medically not sanctioned, and therefore it's not halachically sanctioned as well. And people should absolutely not be meeting in a basement and should absolutely not be meeting in a closed room. That is absolute potential difficulties because a person may go out on multiple dates with multiple different people, and there's a potential to spread that. And then they're going to go back to Pesach, to their house where their older parents live, and they can introduce Rachmana Litzlan, a machala into the house. The last thing in the world that they would want to do would be harm their parents or their grandparents. And they just met somebody who was asymptomatic, but that asymptomatic person without any symptoms could be passing on COVID. So this is the way we're doing things differently now. This Pesach is going to be quite different than every other Pesach. Manishtana ha-Pesach hazeh mikol ha-Psochem. This Pesach will be very different. And the Shidduchim world is also very different right now. Absolutely make the shidduchim. Try to get people together, but they're going to get together with technology. And the Ezras Hashem, if they can build that relationship in those first couple of video chats, phone conversations, emails, Instagrams, whatever technology the young kids do, any way other than direct physical face-to-face contact is going to be the way those first couple of dates will be. And then the Ezras Hashem, hopefully when things get a little bit better, they'll have a mature relationship already, and coup de grace, they can go and meet each other, and Be'ezus Hashem, make YU Connects, make another 400 Shidduchim in the immediate near future. Thank you very much for having me. Be'ezus Hashem, YU Connects does such wonderful work. YU does such wonderful work. Be'ezus Hashem, we should see the end of this machal because of all the chesed that people are doing trying to create Shidduchim.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Dr. Glatt. And I know I speak for everyone. It's hard words to hear. Hard words to hear these restrictions because we care deeply about our young people. But the most important words to hear because we do care deeply about our young people. And thank you for providing that perspective and that direction. And I'd now like to introduce Rav Mordechai Willig. Unfortunately, we're not able to have him on screen, but we will be able to, Mirtz Hashem, hopefully hear his words of Divrei Bracha. Rosh Yeshiva and Rosh Kolel at Yeshiva University, the Rav of the Young Israel of Riverdale in New York. Certainly a world-famous posek and a Rebbe to many, many, many of those on this call right now. Also working Leiva Nefesh, Yomam Valayla, providing halachic and hashkafic guidance to the community at large through this crisis. Rav Willig.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Glasser. In some ways, I'm very, very happy not to be seen, not because I'm camera shy, but I was iced out because there's 300 participants on this Zoom chat. That's a large number. Hey, Yibu, I think the yeshiva has to get a larger capacity for its Zooms going forward. I also want to express my personal gratitude to my predecessor, Rav Dr. Aaron Glatz, who was really bearing the brunt of this terrible, terrible crisis from both a medical and rabbinic perspective. I was able to hear what he was saying, and, you know, he was optimistic that a relationship which could begin on Skype, Zoom, or some equivalent can mature, and as soon as the crisis is over, can blossom into a full relationship when the boy and the girl can actually meet each other, you know, face to face. My fear is that may, although despite Dr. Glass Brocha, it may not have happened as Bekar of Mamish as we'd like. So I think that I surely agree that boys should be meeting girls on Skype, as was mentioned, but I believe it's only appropriate in a segment of our society in which these relationships take a while to flourish. What I mean by that is in certain parts of the Orthodox society, people go out and they measure their courtship in weeks rather than months. I would not recommend that they go out on Skype, because I'm fearful. They'll go out on Skype for a month, which usually is the time to already clear them engaged. Won't be able to do that. Because I'm afraid, Chalila, we always want to be optimistic, but you hear some of the predictions, people who seem to have a sense of grasp what's going on, they don't seem to be so optimistic that within a month we'll be able to resume normal contact between people. And therefore, I'd be much more cautious in such a situation. So yeah, you know, where I come from in yeshiva, we measure these courtships in months, not in weeks. How many months? So often I'm disappointed it takes too long, but let's say 3 months, for argument's sake. We have to misspell that at that point in time, things will be better, and therefore I think it would be appropriate to resume, to begin a relationship with a more realistic time setting that hopefully by the end of the allotted time for the relationship to flourish, the crisis will be over to the extent they'll be able to meet each other in person and they're ready to get engaged to do so. I want to end with a bracha. Today was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Today was the Yom HaKamas HaMishkan. HaKamas HaMishkan was the day that the Mishkan was dedicated. I'd like to give a bracha to all those on the line who are still looking for their Ezek and Egdo, and say that we wish them a bracha. They should be able to build their own private Mishkan. And the bracha that was given by Moshe Rabbeinu when the original Mishkan was dedicated today, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Yirotzon Shetishra Shechina V'Ma'asa Yadecha. It be Hashem's will that Shechina, his divine presence, will dwell in your midst and all that you do. May we be privileged to see many new Mishkanos by the participants in this call and others who are looking for the Shidduch. We say every day until then, the Ayin Yavo Ezri, Ezri be Hashem Oseh Shemayim Oreth Chazal, say Ezri means my Shidduch. And the Ayin Yavo Ezri, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was Oseh Shemayim Oreth, Yesh Me'ayin, he can make a Shidduch from nothing very quickly. It will be Zoche, that you will build Mishkanos, that we hope in the month of Nisan, we will promise the Nisan Asidu Lehigoro will see the ultimate Mishkan based on Nivish HaShlishi Bimheira Yameinu Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rebbe. Thank you for those words of chizuk and words of guidance. The next segment of our program will feature Rabbi Dr. Jonathan Schwartz, The staff of YU Connects works extensively, not only in terms of the practicality of guidance for Shidduchim, but has a very keen sensitivity to the mental health considerations that surround this entire area of life. The director of YU Connects, Dr. Efrat Sabalovsky, herself a very prominent mental health professional, puts mental health considerations very much at the forefront of what we're thinking about whenever we're dealing with any of these types of issues. And so we've asked Rabbi Dr. Jonathan Schwartz, who is the rabbi of Congregation Hadas Yisrael in Elizabeth, New Jersey, a licensed and well-known psychologist. He's the clinical director of the Center for Anxiety Relief in Union, New Jersey, and also someone that many rabbanim turn to. I know that in rabbinic training, we turn to him often for guidance on many areas of mental health as they intersect with the unique elements that characterize our own community. So Dr. Schwartz, are you with us?
Yes, thank you very much, Rabbi Glasser. And I want to thank you and the Center for the Jewish Future and your leadership through this time. You've been invaluable to our whole Orthodox Jewish community. I want to thank Rebbetzin Glatt and Rebbetzin Sabalovsky for their leadership in hosting this program and in so much of what they do together with Rachel Novick and the whole team at YU Connects. I also want to personally offer my Hakaras HaTov to my former neighbors, people I look up to for many years, Rabbi Doctor and Mrs. Glatt. In my family, we constantly say that one day we want to grow up to be just like the Glatts. We've learned so much from you through the years, but in this last couple of weeks, wow, we've been hanging from you left and right in the rabbinate, in the mental health field, in the Orthodox Jewish community. And of course, in front of my Rebbeim, I see Rabbi Sabalovsky is on the phone, and of course, Mori Varabi, Rabbi Willig, who has been a beacon of light. And we have spent so many hours asking them, Shilas, I'm humbled to be among you, and together with Mrs. Eisenman, who is a lamplighter in the field of Shidduchim and all the wonderful things she does as well. So I guess in a certain sense, I have a very set short opportunity to present a major, major series of tips. I'd like to be able to talk a little bit about what is unique to the population that we're talking about, you and me, those of us who are currently involved, sitting quarantined left and right, and particularly for some of those who are single in our community and those who are in dating relationships. And there are two words that come to my mind when everyone else is talking about social distancing. To me, the big word that comes back in return is social isolation. There are people who are talking about cabin fever. There are people who are asking questions about anxieties. And all of a sudden, in our world at large, many are experiencing social isolation. This is even more so for people who are looking to move on in life or people who are involved in relationships. And now, as you just heard, relationships may need a certain degree of hold, a certain stop button. And so my question and the question I've been asked to address is, what can we do about it? And I think we need to parse our question into two halves. The first question is, what can I do about it for myself? And the second half of the question is, what can I do about it in an environment? To the first one, yes. The Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, Lo so bura l'sheves yitzara. We're not created to be isolated individuals. We have a responsibility to, on the one hand, make sure that we don't remain isolated. But at the same moment in time, we have a responsibility to make sure that we first place first and foremost in our minds the principle of Ushmartem La'od L'Nafsho Seichem to protect our individual souls. And so I've basically been informing people who have called me for tips and advice. I've asked and advised them to please make it their business to do at least two things every day. The first one is to get regular fresh air. Make it your business within the guidelines set by Rabbi Dr. Glatt and the other infectious disease specialists to get outside at least twice a day, at least one of the two in sunlight with the proper social distancing and the exercise. But make sure you get out for at least a half an hour a day in total, ideally as much as possible in sunlight. This is not only true for people who are single or people who are not single. This is good for everybody. Getting involved with sunlight and the fresh air takes us away from feeling boxed in. It takes away some of that seasonal affective stuff that comes into play during the winter for many people. And that should be the first thing that we're paying attention to, just to be able to change our own personal level. And while I encourage the increase of the amount of fresh air that we get and the amount of sunlight we get, I request that we turn the opposite in a when we are talking about how much news we're getting. So I've also asked those who've asked me to put themselves on a heavy, heavy, heavy news-restricting diet. To be honest, we're surrounded by news. And whatever we're not surrounded by between the cable channels and all the different internet sites and the updating scroll of Corona 19 on Yeshiva World, we are just repeating it over and over to ourselves. And the more that we sit stewing in all the nerves, the worse off we are. The truth is that the amount of news that you get in an hour or 2 hours or 4 hours of Googling over the course of a day, you can really pick up if you limit yourself to twice a day, grand total of somewhere between 20 and 40 minutes listening to the news. I recommend you split it in half, a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening, but the less in this situation is more. And thus you'll free up your day from the constant nerves that you're feeling. And this is something we can all do. And that's the first half and some of the tips I'd like to bring in. Just quickly to move to the other half, which is, what do I do? I'm single or I'm involved in a relationship and I'm experiencing that social isolation. And so what I wanted to suggest as I put into my time, I want to suggest that people make sure that they engage in social activities. I know Y and Connects has sent out a PDF. They're going to be sending out an additional one of pleasant activities that we can engage in, which gives us an opportunity to be involved and to be involved with people. One of the things we're discovering in the field of psychology, though, is that just being involved in social media alone is not working to get rid of the depressed, alone feelings that people are feeling. In my opinion, there's a very easy explanation for this. There's a question about being social at other people versus being social with other people. When you're being social at other people, I posted on Facebook, I put up a new Instagram post, you're not interacting. And it's not taking care of the need of social interaction and social need. As opposed to finding activities, even if we're isolated and engaging in social distancing, that we can do with one another. We can make it our business, whether in a context of dating or whether in the context of just with my own friends, same gender, to turn around. We were discussing this in our community recently as one enjoyment that people have, perhaps cooking or sharing recipes. But it's another thing to put together a chop challenge when you turn around and say to your friends, hey, listen, I'm picking a recipe for the secret ingredient, ground horseradish. Who can come up with ground horseradish recipes and share it back and forth and comment back and forth? Now, all of a sudden, you've changed an activity. Here's my recipe for, and you've turned it into a contest. There's a social interaction that comes up within the process. Even just the process of listening to a shir together, this call, and opening a chat line somewhere else, of course, in observance of the rules of Lashon Hara, but at the same time, taking the opportunity to comment together with your friends, doing the same. Believe it or not, Netflix has a Google Chrome extension where you can watch a video and comment together with your friends or somebody else at the same moment in time. Now, what Rabbi Willig instructed us in 1992 when I was a young kid in Morish HaKollel about how one should date, and one of the suggestions was, I think date number three, was something to do with watching a clean movie like a Bambi, if I'm not mistaken. Now, all of a sudden, although we're socially isolated, perhaps we'll be able to go ahead and interact through one of these Google extensions. If we take the opportunity to socially interact in a healthy way, and we make it our possibility to take fun, pleasant activities and add a social modification version to it, we'll find that not only will we be able to handle this in our interpersonal dating, but even among ourselves, friends, we will do our best to limit social isolation. I have sent Rachel Novick a copy of a pleasant activity list that was generated together with my friend Dr. Chaim Newhoff, and added just today some social modifications. So the pleasant activities are in black, the social modifications in red, for us to be able to take 23 different activities and figure out how we can socialize with them still while being in our own independent spaces. If we make it our business to go ahead and keep our safety as individuals, if we limit our take of bad information coming into us, which are causing us an overload, and replace it with positive social interaction, not only will we come out with sound body, but we'll come out in sound mind and spirit as well. thank you all very much. Have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach and a Chodesh Tov U'Mevarach.
Thank you so much, Dr. Schwartz, for that incredible presentation and very important perspective. Our final presentation this evening is from Mrs. Mindy Eisenman. She's the staff connector at YU Connects and really very involved in leading the program that has made more than 400 matches since our inception in 2008. Mrs. Eisenman has personally made over 40 engagements. She's also an adjunct professor at Stern College, a social worker, serves as a dating coach for many, and it's a great pleasure to have her on the team and to hear her presentation this evening.
Thank you, Rabbi Glasser, and thank you all for giving your time to attend this informative meeting. I would also like to thank all the wonderful women I work with, Efrat and Margie, Rachel, Naomi and Malki, for all their guidance and assistance always. These are challenging times for all of us. Before I discuss virtual dating, I want to be clear. This is not for everyone. There should be no pressure to date. If you do not feel well, if you are having a hard time, or the concept is not to your liking. There are people who would rather wait, and that is fine too. It is very understandable. If you opt not to virtual date, please take this time to perhaps start a new hobby or find a chesed opportunity, as right now there are many options available, even from home. We have many brave pioneers who currently do not want to give up on dating. For those who want to try virtual dating through FaceTime or another type of technology, I have culled many suggested guidelines. Please remember that these are suggestions and not hard, fast rules. Once you decide that you would like to date, here are 7 specific pointers. 1, discuss on your phone call before the date if you want to have dinner together, some ice cream, snacks, or just a drink. This way you are in the same mode. 2, agree together approximately how long the call will be so that the ending will not be awkward. For example, you could say the first call will be a minimum of a half hour to approximately an hour. You need to recognize that video chatting is typically shorter than a regular first date. The first screening for some works even in 15. You can also alternate and talk on the phone like we did in the old days before smartphones. 3, carry on your normal dating routine. Don't show up in your pajamas or old sweatshirt. Shower, shave, put on makeup. Keeping up these rituals provide a sense of normalcy. 4, okay, I said no hard, fast rules, but there is one that still applies. It is a no-no to look at your phone while talking to someone on your computer screen. 5, choose a backdrop that shows your interests. If you are video chatting from your room, make sure to clean up beforehand. 6, there are some advantages that people have already shared from this method of dating. For instance, if you are naturally a little shy or on the quiet side, you can create what I called a cheat sheet of talking points and interesting questions. 7, some people find that it is easier to be more vocal about how they feel because you can't read a person from a computer screen as you can when you are in person. It makes you more in touch with your feelings. These types of dates can inspire more candid conversations and an even deeper bond. Remember, virtual dating keeps the optimism up. In these unprecedented times, it is to some a real hopeful act. If you would like more specific ideas, we at YU Connects have prepared a resource guide and it is downloadable in this Zoom chat. I would like to close with the following thoughts. It is okay and expected that the first few minutes will be devoted to talking about each other's health and the health of your loved ones. It is part of the new normal. Try to segue into other topics, but a key to resilience is acknowledging the trying times we find ourselves in. Also, everything new takes practice. Kol hatchalot kashot. Everything that you begin is a little difficult. So in case the first few times don't work, maybe wait a week and try again recognize that these things are not easy and take time to learn. Finally, Awayu Musmach reminded me so poignantly that while we need to currently be physically distant, we need to continue to be socially connected and involved with each other. That is our strength as people and specifically as Jews. We here at YU Connects are here for you in every way. So everyone who's listening, young couples, matchmakers, even if you have friends and relatives who are not dating now, continue to do that wonderful mitzvah of thinking of other people and come up with great ideas. So Be'ezrat Hashem, when they are ready to start dating again and this period is over, you will have great suggestions. We at YU Connects are planning on having Zoom social events, so we hope you stay tuned to those as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we want to thank everyone for joining us. The link to the resources that were mentioned is posted in the group chat. We do want to thank those who had tremendous patience. We apologize that not everyone was able to get in, but we will be conducting more of these, and we invite everyone to share with us what topics that you feel could be promoted and could be discussed with greater specificity, with greater strategy, so that we could be sure to cater to everyone's needs at this challenging time. We just want to thank all of our presenters, and we want to thank Dr. Sobolovsky for her incredible leadership of YU Connects and continued devotion to our community and to making sure that we can move forward in building the families of Klal Yisrael. Thank you all so much, and we wish everyone an incredibly inspiring Shabbos.